Our lesson tonight is in Jeremiah chapter 19, verse 1 to chapter 20, verse 6. Jeremiah's message of judgment even to a rebellious superior. When God first called Jeremiah to his prophetic ministry, he told him that he would be opposed by all the people of the land, that they would not accept his message. Perhaps the most difficult opposition Jeremiah faced was that of a fellow priest who was his superior in rank. Nevertheless, he faced it and he handled it in Jeremiah 19, 1 to 26 by God's equipping, and it provides a big lesson for us. I want to read the passage and then look at it. Jeremiah 19, 1 to 20, verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, go and get a potter's earthen bottle and take of the ancients or the elders of the people and the elders of the priests and go forth into the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is by the entry of the east gate, and proclaim there the words that I shall tell you. And say, hear ye the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Behold, I will bring calamity upon this place, the which whoever hears his ears shall tingle. Because they have forsaken me and have estranged this place and have burned incense in it to other gods, whom neither they nor their fathers have known nor their kings of Judah, and have filled this place with the blood of innocents. They have built also the high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings unto Baal, which I commanded not nor spake it, neither came it into my mind. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that this place shall no more be called Tophet, or the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. And I will make void the council of Judah and Jerusalem in this place, and I will cause them to fall by the sword before their enemies, and by the hands of them that seek their lives, and their carcasses I will give to be meat for the fowls of the heaven and for the beasts of the earth. And I will make this city desolate and an hissing. Everyone that passes by shall be astonished and hiss because of all the plagues thereof. And I will cause them to eat the flesh of their sons and the flesh of their daughters, and they shall eat every one the flesh of his friend in the siege and the straitness wherewith their enemies, and they shall that seek their lives shall straiten them. Then shalt thou break the bottle in the sight of the men that go with thee. And thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, even so will I break this people in this city as one breaketh a potter's vessel that cannot be made whole again, and they shall bury them in Tophet until there be no place to bury. Thus I will do unto this place, saith the Lord, and even to the inhabitants thereof, and even to make this city as Tophet. And the houses of Jerusalem and the houses of the kings of Judah shall be defiled as the place of Tophet, because of all the houses upon whose roofs they have burned incense unto all the host of heaven, and have poured out drink offerings unto other gods. Then Jeremiah came from Tophet, whither the Lord had sent him to prophesy, and stood in the court of the Lord's house, and said to all the people, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon this city and upon all the towns all the calamity that I have pronounced against it, because they have hardened their necks that they might not hear my words. Now Pashur, the son of Immer, the priest, who was the chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah had prophesied these things. Then Pashur smote Jeremiah. Actually, he had him beaten with a rod, that's 40 stripes, and put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which is by the house of the Lord. And it came to pass on the next day that Pashur brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks. Then said Jeremiah unto him, the Lord has not called thy name Pashur, but Magormisabib. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself and to all thy friends, and they shall fall by the sword of their enemies, and thine eyes shall behold it. And I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive into Babylon, and shall slay them with the sword. Moreover, I will deliver all the strength of this city, and all the labors thereof, and all the precious things thereof, and all the treasures of the kings of Judah will I give into the hand of their enemies, which shall spoil them, and take them, and carry them to Babylon. And thou, Pashur, and all that dwell in thine house shall go into captivity, and thou shalt come to Babylon, and there thou shalt die, and thou shalt be buried there, thou and all thy friends to whom you have prophesied lies. Okay, interesting passage. God gave Jeremiah a message of judgment to deliver to the elders of the people, the elders of the priests, and to all the people in the temple, a message illustrated by Jeremiah's breaking of a pottery jar. The Lord told Jeremiah to take a narrow-necked pottery flask or vessel for carrying water. In the Hebrew, it's called a bakbuk. Now, this is an onomatopoetic word that suggests the sound that the water made as it was poured out. You've probably heard jugs, bakbuk, bakbuk, bakbuk. So, and the Jews heard this sound, and they named the jar bakbuk, right? So human nature hasn't changed over the centuries, anyway. And he was supposed to take elders of the people and the priests with him out of the city to the valley of Ben-Hinnom, which is south, through the Potsherd Gate. The Potsherd Gate is where broken pieces of pottery were thrown away. So he's taking them out there with his pottery, this piece of pottery. There he was to announce God's judgment on Judah for all of her idolatry. And that would have been a fitting message in that location because that valley contained the high places of Baal, which are called Topheth, where the people offered their infants in the fire, what Jeremiah mentioned in his message of God's judgment. Jeremiah then described how God would bring on Judah the tragedies of an invasion and cannibalism of their children due to the famine of the siege as predicted in the Mosaic Covenant. In fact, in Deuteronomy 28, verse 53, God says, I will cause you to have to eat your children. This is because the starvation would be so thick in the area. Jeremiah was then to throw the clay jar down. Of course, when you do that to a pottery jar, especially if it hasn't been fired, you'll shatter it. And he was supposed to say that God would similarly destroy Judah's people in Jerusalem, defiling like Topheth, where the pagan high places in the Valley of Hinnom were located, doing the same to Jerusalem's houses where idolatry was also practiced. See, what they would do, they would often worship the stars of the heavens, and of course the stars would come out at night, so they'd get up on the roof. They'd have these stairways that went up on the side of these flat roofs, and they'd get up on top of the roof, and they would worship the stars of the heavens out there, pouring out libations and whatnot. So God says, any place where you've been practicing idolatry, I'm going to get you. I'm going to deal with you here in the Valley of Hinnom, Topheth, where these high places are. I'm going to get you on your own houses because you've been worshiping these false gods up on your houses as well. Then the prophet Jeremiah returned to the temple to proclaim to all the people there that God would destroy Jerusalem and Judah for their rebellion against the words of the Lord. However, Pashur, who is the chief officer of the temple, he would have been a priest, he rejected Jeremiah's words and he persecuted him. This is the first listing or the mention that we have of physical persecution. Up to now, Jeremiah has been persecuted with words. People have bad-mouthed him and so forth, but now it gets physical and it's pretty serious. Pashur flogged Jeremiah. This would have been 40 lashes across the back with these would be leather tongs that had bits of glass in them or metal, and they were whipped across the bare back and then pulled. And it was designed to cut into the flesh. It was a shock. And sometimes at 40 lashes, people would actually die. This is, you know, because of the shock to the body and so forth. Jeremiah must have been in fairly good health at this point because he was also put in stocks after this. And in the stocks, they secured his feet, his hands, and his neck really close together. The feet were here and the hands and the neck there, so the body all night was bent over double like this. So his back that was bleeding from the lashes would have been bare. And people would go by, and this was intended to make him mocked. So they would mock him and mock his message. Now, this is really something because the message that he was preaching is the message of God. And yet they're mocking him because of his message. So God takes this personally, not only because they did this to his messenger, but because of what this officer Pashur was doing to make people doubt the word that Jeremiah was speaking. That makes them doubt God's word, and that's where God really gets upset. So anyway, they had him in the hands and his feet and his neck were all bent double, so Jeremiah and his message could be ridiculed. Nevertheless, God then led Jeremiah boldly to announce his personal judgment against Pashur. A lot of people, after having faced that, would be pretty intimidated to go ahead and say something bad against the officer, but Jeremiah didn't. He took him out, and God had promised that in Jeremiah chapter 1 that he was going to set his face hard and make him just like a bronze wall against the people of the land. So he stood up to Pashur when Pashur let him out, and he went ahead and he prophesied the judgment of God against Pasher right there. He gave it to him right then. So when Pasher released Jeremiah the next day, God emboldened him to announce a personal judgment against Pasher for not just persecuting the prophet of God, but for opposing God's message through him. We need to keep in mind that when somebody is giving a message of God, God wants us to pay attention. And if we ignore it or if we ridicule the message of God, he gets really upset. We've studied in the message of the Church of Philadelphia how God sent World Wars I and II, primarily because the slanders, writers of Scripture were slandered. And God didn't like that at all, because if they slandered the writers of Scripture, they're also going to be slandering the word that God had through them, the Word of God. That shows us what God wants us. He wants us to respect his word as totally divinely inspired, and then to believe it and to act upon it. Well, Jeremiah announced that the Lord did not call his name Pasher, which means deliverance is roundabout, but Magormisabib, which means terror is surrounding. So there's a play on words here. Pasher means deliverance is about, Magormisabib means terror is surrounding. For since Pasher had rejected God's message, he would see the outpouring of God's judgment. He would watch in terror as his own friends fell by the sword. And he would see Babylon carry away all the wealth of Jerusalem as plunder. Pasher and his family would be exiled in Babylon, where they would die, and there they would be buried. It was very important in those days that you would live your life and you would die and be buried with your fathers in your father's grave or father's graves. So to be buried in a foreign country, to die there and to be buried there, is in the ancient Near East was really a letdown. It was a great discouragement. Not so much in our culture, it's not that big of a deal. You know, where you die, you know, and you happen to be buried there, that's fine. But it was very important for them to get back in their own home. Well, the key reason for this judgment was Pasher's prophecy of lies, formed when he ridiculed Jeremiah's message by persecuting him, because it caused others to doubt it when it was really God's message. See, when someone causes another person to doubt God's message, they're actually promoting a lie. The lie is that God's word is not true. That upsets God. And so Jeremiah said, you have actually lied. You have prophesied lies by the way you've treated me, because it's caused the people to doubt the truthfulness of the message that I gave. And that message is God's message. So you're promoting a lie. So when God directed Jeremiah to predict divine judgment on Judah for her gross idolatries, accompanied by a dramatic object lesson of his shattering of a pottery vessel, giving the message first to Judah's elders and priests and then to the people, only to be persecuted as if he were a false prophet by the priestly official Pashur, God still held Pasher and all Judah accountable to heed Jeremiah's message, because Jeremiah spoke God's message, and to punish Pasher for teaching a lie to the people, the lie that Jeremiah's message was not from God. A couple applications. Number one, if God directs us to give his truth to other people, we can be sure that he will hold them accountable to heed it, even if the hearer is our human superior. So don't be afraid. If you know that the Lord has assigned you a task of giving his word in some capacity, could be a Sunday school lesson, could be where the Lord opens up a witnessing opportunity and you do share it, that person who hears you is going to be held accountable before God for it. If someone ministers unto us a message he claims is God's truth, we must check Scripture to see if it is true. For if it is true, God himself will hold us responsible to heed it. It's a very dangerous thing just to ignore someone who is saying, I'm giving you a message from the Lord. Now, granted, there are lots of false prophets out there. There are a lot of false teachers out there who will just, you know. But what we do, we need to owe them a hearing and to check what they're saying against the word of God. And we can tell pretty quickly with the indwelling Spirit of God and so forth whether or not they're telling the truth, or whether it's not of the Lord, or whether it is of the Lord. But we need to be very careful. This is why the Bible says test the spirits. You know, just because somebody says something, just ignore it. Neither do you automatically buy it. Test it. Test the spirits to see whether they be of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. That's 1 John chapter 4. So we need to be very careful. But when someone is giving us the word, we need to pay attention. Just sharing with this relative, like I was mentioning here tonight, I'm not mentioning his name because we're on the air now and it's going out onto the internet. But this relative got into the information that we have put on our website in regards to Revelation chapters 2 and 3, and of his own became convinced that I was absolutely spot on as far as that interpretation was concerned. And that meant a lot because this relative's known me since I was a kid, and I've known this person too for a long, long time. But the fact that he studied it and he shared with me, he was convinced that the Spirit of God had clarified that what I was teaching was accurate. And it is a bit troubling because especially the last message on the Laodicean church, but it should be, because obviously Christ is not happy with evangelicalism as a system today. He's actually rather upset at it, and he wants people to make some definite moves as a relationship to it. But I have to hand it to this relative. He came full circle and wrote and said, no, it's true, Don, it's true. And that's an evidence to me that the Holy Spirit is at work. But that's what we need to do. We need to be careful to test the spirits. And if we do, then we can test them against the Word of God, and the Spirit of God will give us insight as to whether or not we're getting the truth or not. And then we can adjust accordingly.